Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. With me today is Master Gardener Apprentice and soon-to-be full Master Gardener, Pam Crowbar, and we'll be discussing the really fun topic of carnivorous plants this week. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
What is your experience growing carnivorous plants?
Well, I found a Darlingtonia, which is the Oregon native plant, at a plant nursery about 10 years ago. I took that home, didn't know anything about them, but I put it in this really wet spot in my yard. And then over the years, I found more plant nurseries, specialty plant nurseries in Oregon. And I started to go there, learn better growing methods, and got more plants, and it's just ballooned into what I have today.
You really took a liking to them.
Yes, I do.
What is it about carnivorous plants that you find enjoyable?
Well, certainly I'm a bit of a science nerd, and nerds definitely have a macabre feel to them that I definitely enjoy. And I think it's really cool to have plants other people don't know about, haven't experienced, haven't seen. And, you know, they're the talk of the neighborhood. People come take photos of the plants. They ask me all about them. I've given starts to a lot of people. So it's fun. It's been kind of a common denominator plant. Everyone wants to know about it and is interested in it. So it's fun that way.
They're definitely unusual, even though there are some that are native to Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
So what are the different types of carnivorous plants and which ones do you like to grow?
Well, they're usually categorized by how they capture insects. So the first one is pitcher plants, and that's the one most of us are familiar with. And Darlingtonia californica, that's the Oregon native, also native in California. And then Sarracenia, that's a huge family of pitchers. Also native in the eastern United States, and then tropical pitchers. Then there's also sundews, and they have the sticky stalks that just capture insects, and then Venus flytraps, which most people are familiar with, and bladderworts, which are water plants and can be companion plants. And if you go see Darlingtonia in Florence, there's a lot of those bladderworts just growing at the base of the Darlingtonia, but you have to really look for them. I have a lot of Darlingtonia. I have a lot of Sarracenia. And this year I've started sundews for the first time, and also Venus flytraps. And I have some of those bladderworts because I bought some plants and they just came as kind of companion plants on there. So I'm trying those this year.
What do you mean when you describe them as companion plants?
Well, they just will grow at the base of the plants. And I've seen this in a couple different instances now. Because bladderworts are a water plant, they just grow right at the base where there is all that water, and they vacuum in the insects from the water. So.
And they have just the exact same growing conditions and do well together.
They do, yeah. Mm-hmm. They do great together.
And so when you're growing these plants, do you grow them indoors or outdoors?
I grow them outdoors. All the plants I grow are hardy outdoor perennials, so you can keep them outside year-round. If it frosts where you live, you might want to mulch them, but I never mulch mine. You can grow tropical carnivorous plants indoors. I've seen them as house plants now, or in a heated greenhouse. I saw a tropical pitcher in a greenhouse this year that was so big it had consumed 5 mice over winter.
Oh boy.
So that'll tell you. They're voracious eaters.
That's useful in some circumstances,
yeah.
I guess.
And then I saw a huge tropical pitcher plant somebody just had as a house plant recently in Northern California, but it was very good light, southern exposure, and just a lot of light in general. as a house plants, because when you grow them indoors, typically you want to give them 12 hours of light a day. They need that artificial light, and they do like the heat too.
So then, since we're starting to get into care of carnivorous plants, would you go over some of the basics of what it looks like to grow them?
Well, they're really easy to take care of.
That's convenient.
They thrive in poor soil because they derive all their nutrients from insects. They do not require or want fertilizer. That can kill them. Hmm. And the soil is just half peat or coconut fiber, and then half either perlite or vermiculite. I like vermiculite because perlite tends to blow away. It's really light, and the vermiculite mixes better with the soil, and I have better luck with that. Most pitchers like to be crowded in a pot, but the traps and the sundews, they like more room. Some people use demineralized water. Where I live, it's very soft water. They don't mind it. I use it all the time. But I know a lot of other people will use distilled water. And you just keep them in a container. I keep them in livestock troughs, those big galvanized metal containers. And they just require about 2 inches of water. And you just keep the water fresh and cool, because it can heat up in the summer, and plants, they don't like that. They like cool roots.
So then it's a pot with drainage holes in a larger vessel to hold the water.
Right. That's and not too easy. Crowded, because they like sun, so if you crowd them in too much, they won't get enough sun. Mm. And that's their biggest requirement, full sun, at least 6 hours. Mm. So you want to have them in your sunniest spot of your yard. And people think bogs are shady, but they're really not. And even if you go down to Darlingtonia in Florence, there's a lot of trees right around the bog, but the bog itself is tree-free. And I was just down there last week, and I took some pictures of that, because people always say, oh, well, bog's really shady, but it's not.
It's a really amazing place.
Yeah,
I would highly recommend visiting it if any listeners haven't.
Yeah.
Quite incredible. So as we're sort of shifting into the late fall season, would you talk about what care for carnivorous plants looks like year-round? Are there any particular seasonal actions you take to care for them?
Well, you can mulch them in the winter if you get a lot of frost. I don't mulch mine here, and they survived the big ice storm a couple years ago with no problem, and they weren't mulched then. And then in the spring, you want to cut all the pitchers off. Most pitcher plants, there's a couple exceptions, so you got to know your plants, but that allows the sun to reach all the new emerging pitchers. And it seems really destructive when you do that, but the results are amazing, and you will get so many more pitchers, and they're so much healthier. And that's really about all. And then repot in the spring, they're pretty easy plants to take care of.
How do you know when it's time to repot or divide up your plants?
I just let them get completely crowded, except for the Venus fly traps. The pitcher plants like crowds, but the others don't like so much crowd. So they'll be years in a pot before you need to repot those. But the pitchers, you just wait till there's absolutely no more room in the pot, and then you dig them out and repot them.
And then give them to all your friends.
Yes, I do.
So what problems have you encountered while growing carnivorous plants, and how do you troubleshoot them? You make it sound pretty easy, but
they are pretty
easy.
And I mean, the most problems you're going to have is not getting enough sun. And you'll know that because your pitchers will just start to fall over, and your other plants will just generally not be thriving. And this year I had one day where I had aphids on one of my little baby plants that I had just bought, and I just wiped them off, and they never came back, and they didn't spread to any of the other plants. So they are pretty carefree, easy to care for, easy to take care of.
So even though carnivorous plants eat insects, they can still get pests as well?
Well, that was my first experience ever seeing any kind of pest insect on one of my plants. And it only lasted for one day.
Can you propagate carnivorous plants?
I do a lot of dig and divide.
Mm.
With dig and divide, over the last 10 years, I've probably populated 5 big bogs. So never a problem with that. And then this year, I saw a new method of seed saving. So I saved a bunch of seeds, and I'm going to try to plant those in the spring. And it takes 4 years to get a flowering pitcher from seed. So we'll see how those do.
Seeds on pitcher plants.
They have interesting flowers, very primitive. They come up really high from the plant, so the plant doesn't eat its own pollinators. The architecture is of the plant designed that way. And you just put little bags around the flower heads, and the seeds fall right in there. And so I got a lot of seeds out of them.
Is that from the Darlingtonias?
From all my plants, I got seeds.
Wow.
They all flower really well.
When you're talking with people about carnivorous plants, have you encountered any common misconceptions?
Well, most people think you need to feed them, and you never need to feed them. And they're really good eaters. When you cut it, picture off and look at it, it's full of digested insects, which is kind of gross and interesting all at the same time. And they smell really bad too. And you shouldn't touch them. People always want to touch traps and sundews, and you shouldn't touch them because that activates their eating sense, and you know, it just kind of throws them off.
They think your finger is a bug.
Yeah.
What type of insects are they eating in your yard?
They eat everything. And I'm not going to venture to guess what I see in those pictures when they're done digesting them, but I've seen everything fly in there. And even bees I've seen fly in there, but they always seem to fly back out again.
Do you have any other tips for listeners who are looking to get into growing some carnivorous plants?
Well, I guess just know what you have to work with. Make sure you have a sunny enough spot and a good container to put it in. Know how your water is for your plants. And other than that, find a reputable plant nursery. There are specialized plant nurseries in Oregon. Some are really good. They have monthly guides, expert growers to answer questions, and all kinds of interesting information. And I would definitely encourage people to explore that.
Would you walk us through what it's like to set up those little bog habitats for carnivorous plants?
Well, starting out small, you just need a container that holds water. You know, if you've got 4-inch plants, you know, you just want to cover the bottom inch of the pot itself. And you want to make sure it doesn't get too full. So if you have it out where it rains a lot, you want to put a hole in it so it'll have an overflow hole.
Up on the side?
Yeah, so on the side.
That's a maximum water level.
You know, when it gets so high, the water will start draining out. And you just put your plants in there, and as they grow, you can grow the size of your bog. And there's two places in Oregon to see native Darlingtonia californica, and one is right outside Florence, and then there's another place called $8 Mountain, which is down in southern Oregon. And they just discovered a new bog that's across the bridge in Florence that they haven't done anything with it, but they know it's there now. So that's the newest news that I've heard.
They're really magical places.
They are.
Thank you so much for coming on to share
all your knowledge.
That was amazing. And now to get into some seasonal gardening tips. Fall is a great time to perform gardening chores that disrupt woody perennial plants, including shrubs and trees. If you want to either plant a new woody perennial or move one to somewhere else in your garden, now's a great time, right before it freezes and after plants are entering their dormant periods for the winter. Plants will have all winter then to build up a healthy and robust root system and will take off in the spring. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!